This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. It's Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. FYI, Cinco de Mayo is kind of a made-up holiday, a lot like all of the greeting card holidays. Just do a little research. No, it's not Mexican Independence Day. It was over a battle. It's all about a battle, and the beer companies decided, hey, you know, we can sell Mexican beer in the U.S. if we celebrate the day. Ding! There you go. Happy Wednesday. Good to have you along. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this daily dose of observation, insight, and absurdity. Speaking of daily, no daily on Friday. Friday, I have a session, an outside session, that will take me out of here. I also have other things happening on Friday that were already booked before they put this session in. So I was going to make it through the whole week, and now I'm not. So there we go. But no podcast on Friday, just a programming note to let you know. Okay. All right. It's the Wednesday midweek edition of the podcast, and I hope you're doing well. Hope you and yours are all okay. If you live in the Southeast, I hope you strapped the pontoons to the house and you've floated past all of the rain we had over the last couple of days. It has been an amazing couple of days here in the Southeast. The rain has been amazing. That's all I can say. So much rain. We had flash flood warnings yesterday. I had to run out and do some errands yesterday, and I'm listening to liferadio.fm on the phone connected to the car with Apple CarPlay. And as I'm heading out of the neighborhood, everything shuts down and I get a warning about a flash flood warning. And it tells me not to leave the house unless emergency personnel have told me to leave the house. Too late. I'm already down at the bottom of Mount. You ain't getting out of here. And there's no going back, but there was massive flooding all over our area. There are people whose cars are stuck in places, and it's just been a crazy couple of days. And see, there are a handful of places I'm familiar with, and I saw the pictures of them last night with the cars sitting in parking lots up to their windows in water, and the bowling alley on one part of town that's all flooded out, it's just amazing the amount of water that's been dumped on this area in the last few days. And we did see some results of that flooding yesterday. And still, after being warned again and again and again, turn around, don't drown, by meteorologists all over the country, people still go driving into deep water, and their vehicles get flipped over or pushed off bridges, things like that. People pay attention. Do what they tell you to do. Come on. Come on. I mean, your local meteorologist generally is not going to misguide you like, oh, I don't know, the CDC, you know? your local meteorologist is not Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's going to be telling you the truth, and he really is looking out for your best interest and not the current narrative of a leftist government. So please, pay attention to when your meteorologist tells you something. When he tells you it's time to duck and cover, it's time to duck and cover. When he tells you not to drive through water, don't drive through water. Come on, people. Let's get a grip, okay? All right. Enough of that. And speaking of Dr. Fauci, wow, there's this story over at PJ Media by Brian Preston. And in the, I have time here in this first segment. I'll pass it along to you, because I've got a list of things that I want to hit today. And in fact, I've already posted all of the other stuff to linkreport.us, and it's there right now if you want to go look at it. And the story will be there as well, because I'm recording this now, and before this goes live, I'll have this story over at linkreport.us. 14 very long months ago, Americans were told we needed 2 weeks to flatten the curve to beat the coronavirus that originated from Wuhan, China. Now, as a sidebar, I don't know about you, but when they said we need 2 weeks, I said, no, don't do this. You'll never let go. Once you get this, we'll never get our lives back. It won't be 2 weeks. We may never come out from under this. And now here we are, 14 very long months away from that day. And still, we're seeing things, we're seeing idiocy go on. Since that time, the curve has been flattened and broken back on itself. Hospitalizations and deaths are way down from their peak. Common sense 14 months ago was right, and locking the country down wasn't a good idea. We have vaccines, and they're widely available to anyone who wants them. Arizona, Florida, Texas, and several other states are more or less fully open, and even Pennsylvania is opening in mid-May. California's Disneyland has been reopened long enough to face a woke controversy over Sleeping Beauty. I don't know if you know about that story, but it's just more woke stupidity. They're all upset that Prince Charming kissed Sleeping Beauty without her permission. Here's just a little wake-up call for you. It's a fairy tale! Why then are we not farther along in the fight, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci? As one tweeter quipped, if we're only in the sixth inning after all this time, it's time for a relief pitcher. Has the virus batted around the order in every inning up to now? This all feels less like a baseball game than a rendition of the Bill Murray classic Groundhog Day. Fauci has been everywhere on the public communications, which has served to undermine it from the start. Inconsistency will do that. As someone who has handled public communications in science, you have to be clear and you have to be consistent. When data changes the facts, you have to clearly communicate that repeatedly. I'd grade Fauci an F. He was against masks, four masks, admitted he lied about masks, and then he said he would wear multiple masks. He should be telling Biden to knock it off with the masks since he's vaccinated, and he should try to offer Americans some hope. He seems to want the notoriety that goes with the attention the virus has brought him to go on for as long as possible. And he has never truly acknowledged that lockdowns were highly destructive, piling on economic misery and mental health consequences we could have avoided. It's likely the lockdowns played a role in fomenting the riots as well. The Centers for Disease Control is also all over the place on messaging. We know children aren't very susceptible to COVID at all. They're very unlikely to get it or spread it. But the CDC has published new guidelines for summer camps that require kids to wear masks outdoors at camp unless they're eating or swimming. What? The guidelines also stick with the 6-foot rule, even though that's likely to be excessive. A study suggests 3 feet is fine. The same kids who will be at summer camp have probably been at school for months now. And there have been zero outbreaks traced to schools. But the CDC advises summer camps to be handled in ways that will make them terrible and may make kids decide not to bother in the first place. So the CDC and Dr. Anthony Fauci can't keep their fingers out of our lives in any way, shape, or form. They keep telling the same fairy tale again and again. Which is why so many people have finally gotten fed up with it and said, well, essentially, you can just take it and blow it out your wazoo for all I care. I mean, we are not putting up with this anymore. It's just amazing how much we will put up with. And then when you cross our line, oh my. And then there are the warriors on social media who will condemn you for having your own opinion and for doubting the sainted Dr. Anthony Fauci. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. This man has not done anything to earn the confidence of honest, free-thinking, rational people. He really hasn't. And yet, he has an action figure. Did you know that? Yeah. He has an action figure. Megyn Kelly walked into a toy store in New York and found a table full of action figures of all of these leftist government characters, Obama, Biden, Kamala Harris, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and yeah, Dr. Doom, Dr. Anthony Fauci, mask and all. He has an action figure. And I have seen many, many times on social media where people they treat him as though he is some sort of a savior. that he is an admirable character. But when you look at what he's actually doing, he's keeping people frightened. Because frightened people are a boon to manipulative politicians. Frightened people beg for more. They beg to give politicians more power and more control because they want them to come rescue them. And that's what leftist politicians love. They love to play the hero because their role can't exist unless there is a victim class. And as long as somebody like Anthony Fauci is out there telling you you're a victim or you're a potential victim and frightening you, you will be asking, or some will be asking for help from the superhero we know as the leftist politician. No cape, no big red S on the chest, but they'll still stand there and tell you, we're here to help. We are here to save you from this catastrophe. And the problem is that the catastrophe probably doesn't really exist to the degree that they say it does. They have made it a lot larger than it actually is because it works to their advantage. Because the more frightened you are of it, the more likely you are to beg them for help. And that is the problem. These people are not supposed to be there to be our heroes. These people are supposed to be there to be us. They are there to represent us, to stand in our place on the federal level. We're too busy doing life, going to work, earning a living, taking care of our families, managing what we own. We can't. We don't have the time. So we appoint people to represent us and our interests. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. Not playing the hero. And not seeking out the TV cameras, the news cameras. Not going to states they don't represent. And standing in front of crowds of people and encouraging them to continue misbehaving until people pay attention to them. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be representing the interests of the people back home. They are supposed to be you and me, standing in our place for us. But that's not what they're doing. And that is the entire problem. And until you and I and other honest Americans remind everyone that that's why they're there, and refuse to put anybody in office who will not just be our representatives, we will continue to have the same problems. As long as politicians on both sides of the aisle, and I say both sides of the aisle because even Jeff Sessions from my state of Alabama went on national television to announce his candidacy for the past election instead of announcing it back home in Alabama to a gathering at home of supporters. No, he went on the Tucker Carlson show and announced his candidacy to the nation, not to the state he would represent. As long as that continues to happen, we have problems, and those people don't represent us. They represent their own stardom, their own fame. And we can see exactly what that's all about. So we need to pay attention. Because when politicians are representing themselves instead of us, they're giving us lip service, but they're really not doing anything to serve us. As long as that's going on, nothing's going to change. Elect people to represent you, and then when they don't represent you, replace them as early as possible. Because if they lied to you about one thing, they will lie to you about everything, because that is kind of the mental makeup of the kind of people who pursue that kind of political life. Just something to be thinking about on this midweek edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. This is the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along today. Thank you so much for being there. I do really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing with your friends, passing the word along, and growing the fam here at the Daily Perspective. It is the 5th day of May, 2021. Halfway through the week, working our way towards the weekend. Well, President Trump, former President Donald Trump, has made good on his threat to create a new communications platform for himself after being banned by the Silicon Valley tech giants. It's called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump. The site appears at donaldjtrump.com/desk. The site, which went live yesterday, lets Mr. Trump post comments, images, and videos, but does not permit, as Twitter and Facebook do, comments from users. The site does, however, permit users to post Mr. Trump's content to their own Facebook and Twitter pages, so you can share. There are buttons on each one of the posts where you can share wherever you'd like to. According to Fox News, the site appears to use Campaign Nucleus, former campaign manager Brad Parscale's digital ecosystem made for efficiently managing political campaigns and organizations. Mr. Trump has been banned from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Snapchat since the U.S. Capitol riot on January 6th. The Trump desk rollout comes the day before Facebook's oversight board will announce whether to make permanent Mr. Trump's banning from Facebook and Instagram. So that happens today. The Facebook oversight board will make that announcement today. Will they let him back on? I doubt it. I really do doubt it, because he will just say what he truly thinks. And that will ruffle enough feathers. Actually, just the fact that he's there will ruffle enough weeny snowflake feathers that they will make such a stink. And those who are within Facebook itself will make such a stink that they'll finally just say, no, this is not working out. Because they want to take the path of least resistance and stick to the narrative as closely as possible. But if you haven't looked at it, it is an interesting place. I mean, here, I'll click over and we'll have a look at it. Let's see, what is it? This was this morning. He posts, warmonger Liz Cheney, who has virtually no support left in the great state of Wyoming, continues to unknowingly and foolishly say that there was no election fraud in the 2020 presidential election, when in fact the evidence, including no legislative approvals as demanded by the U.S. Constitution, shows the exact opposite. Had Mike Pence referred to the information on 6 states, only need 2, back to state legislatures, and had gutless and clueless Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he blew 2 seats in Georgia that should have never been lost, fought to expose all of the corruption that was presented at the time, with more found since, we would have had a far different presidential result, and our country would not be turning into a socialist nightmare. Never give up, he says. And there's more. He's got more there. There's a video from yesterday and a post from the day before. So basically what it amounts to is he's created his own place to vent. And you can love what he has to say. You can click the little heart button. You can share to Twitter and Facebook. But that's what that boils down to. He's got himself his own little place to post his thoughts. And I think that's fine. I mean, you can do that. You would not believe how inexpensive it actually is to set up your own website. It really isn't that expensive. It doesn't cost that much money. You just, okay, here's a quick primer. You go someplace like, not GoDaddy. I wouldn't go to GoDaddy. Although GoDaddy is a very comprehensive place, and you can build a website from scratch using their cut and paste website builder, and it'll look like everybody else's website. Is that what you want? Or you can go to someplace like DreamHost and go to dreamhost.com. That's where I host everything that I build. And you can go there and set things up. And before you know it, you've got a website set up. If you go to DreamHost and you use a WordPress thing, you install WordPress. It's a hosting, it's a building platform. You can do that for nothing. It costs you nothing. And then you pick out a template that you like, something you like, and then you go in and customize it and change the colors and the layout and the fonts and things like that until you're happy with it. And with WordPress, there is a universe of plugins that you can add to do certain things, like playing videos and the like. Podcasting. You can host your own podcast there. You can link to other services. In fact, you can link to. There's a service called anchor.fm, which will host your podcast for nothing in exchange for placing ads in it. So you're still not paying any money to speak of. And the WordPress, the DreamHost hosting, not the WordPress hosting, because they have a special package for that, but you can do it without their package. You can host a website on DreamHost for a ridiculously inexpensive. I think I pay, depending, I have a handful of sites, and it costs me for each site between like $11 and $16 a year per site, per year. That should tell you a little bit about the people who are in the website management business and how much money they're making, because they'll charge you $250, $300 a month, and they're paying $10 to $15 a year for the same web space. Just go figure. Okay, enough of that. Well, because of the lunacy that has happened with the Derek Chauvin trial and the things we have found out about jury members, ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has filed a motion seeking a new trial in the death of George Floyd, arguing that his constitutional right to a fair trial was violated multiple times throughout the proceedings. Defense attorney Eric Nelson took the issue to the judge's refusal, with the judge's refusal to grant a change of venue and the decision not to sequester jurors during the trial, among other things, in a 10-point post-verdict filing. Quote, "The cumulative effect of the multiple errors in these proceedings deprived Mr. Chauvin of a fair trial in violation of his constitutional rights." Nelson argued that it was unconstitutional when the court declined to compel testimony from Maurice Hall, a suspected drug dealer and friend of Floyd's who was with him at the time of the May 25th, 2020 incident that led to his death. Quote, "The court abused its discretion and violated Mr. Chauvin's rights under the Confrontation Clause when it failed to order Maurice Hall to testify, or in the alternative to admit into evidence Mr. Hall's statements to law enforcement regarding his interactions with George Floyd and presence at the May 25, 2020 incident. Hall invoked the Fifth Amendment to avoid testifying, but he had made statements to police that were not revealed to jurors, despite Nelson's attempts to have them read in court. Nelson also accused prosecutors of pervasive, prejudicial prosecutorial misconduct and alleged that jurors convicted Chauvin on charges that the evidence did not sufficiently support. Quote, "The court abused its discretion when it submitted instructions to the jury that failed to accurately reflect the law with respect to second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and authorized use of force." And he argued that the court allowed prosecutors to lead witnesses during questioning. In addition to requesting a new trial, Nelson also asked for the guilty verdicts against Chauvin to be tossed. Two notable potential areas of conflict were left out of the filing: controversial remarks from Representative Maxine Waters and a juror who was photographed at a Black Lives Matter protest but failed to acknowledge it on the pretrial questionnaire given to potential jury members. Maxine Waters said she would urge protesters to get more confrontational if Chauvin had been acquitted at trial. And Brandon Mitchell, the juror, was photographed last summer at a Washington, D.C. BLM rally wearing a T-shirt that said, "Get your knee off our neck," a reference to Floyd's death after Chauvin knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes on a video. The questionnaire asked directly whether potential jurors had attended protests over the death of Floyd over police brutality. Mitchell lied, answering no to both questions. He declined to comment. Also, there was one who was wearing T-shirts, George Floyd T-shirts, beforehand. He's been fighting. And it's just, I think the longer we get away from this, the more trouble we're going to see with it, the more problems we'll see, the more issues will be unveiled, and the more we'll see that this trial was basically, it was a kangaroo court intended to satisfy the desires of a single segment of the population. And that politicians like Maxine Waters were taking advantage of this entire thing. It was the whole race baiting thing, everything about it. They're taking advantage of the whole thing. Why? Well, for the same reason that everything is done in this manner.
Everything is racist.
Yep, everything is racist. And it's racist because racism is emotional. It's an emotional trigger point. And politicians will take advantage of emotional trigger points in order to manipulate people. Because when they become emotional, they lose their rational judgment. And this whole thing, when you look at all of the details, you look at the facts associated with the case, and you ignore what the news media has been telling you, you just go dig up the facts, read the coroner's report, watch the body cam video from the police department. Those two things alone will show you more accurately what really happened. And it'll be more and more obvious that this guy was railroaded strictly for political purposes. He didn't get a fair trial. They didn't want him to have a fair trial. And here's another thing. If it could happen to him, it could happen to you. Perspective. Just scanning the news in the break. I was right. Facebook's oversight board decided this morning to uphold the site's ban of former President Donald Trump's account. But the board also ordered a new review of the indefinite suspension to take place within 6 months. And that leaves the door open slightly for a future Trump reinstatement. Don't hold your breath. These people are anti-liberty, and so they will not let a pro-liberty president back on their platform. They will not. Just trust me. This also applies to Instagram, and there's more to the story, but you can check on that on your own. I'll put it on linkreport.us, and that way you can see for yourself. Oh, wait a minute. And that way you can read it for yourself. And see what I'm talking about here. Let me go over there and do that real quick. Let's see, that's done. Because I just added something else. I told you I was going to add, just to make sure that it was all done, you know. And there's that. Pardon me, please. I know this is highly unprofessional, but, you know, let's put that up there. And now, ladies and gentlemen, ta-da, the story is over at linkreport.us. So you can just go right over there right now and read the story. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Restaurants in America, due to Dr. Anthony Fauci's incompetence and his insistence on towing the party line rather than telling the people the truth, restaurants are ready to hire, but government payments are keeping workers home. You see, the leftists in government want the workers dependent upon them. And so they're paying them more money than they can earn by going to work. As more and more states start easing pandemic restrictions, restaurants large and small are grappling with a widespread problem, and that's hiring employees. Owners and managers from New York, California, Washington, and Chicago say hiring woes have become a nightmare amid a litany of other challenges like indoor occupancy rules. They say the federal unemployment bonuses handed out during the virus pandemic incentivize people to stay home instead of working. Now restaurants are starting the long, hard, and costly climb back to profitability. The lockdowns imposed across the country a year ago have since put out of business over 110,000 eateries, some of those permanently. It's become so dire that one McDonald's location in Florida started paying $50 to anybody who would just show up for a job interview. Other franchises like Taco Bell, which needs at least 5,000 new employees, are holding hiring events in parking lots. Hiring difficulties have long existed in the service industry, even before the pandemic. But Hudson Real, the senior vice president for research at the National Restaurant Association, said it's reaching unprecedented levels. He says, when it comes to recruiting workforce in January, 7% of restaurant operators rated recruitment and retention of workforce as their top challenge. By April, that number had risen to 57%. With fewer people in the workforce, the stimulus report supports still in place, worker safety concerns, the need for caregivers to remain at home, and much greater competition with other industries and workers, operators are returning to pre-pandemic recruitment techniques for hiring. Mark Fox, a Dublin native who lives in New York City, owns four restaurants in the Big Apple. While business is now finally starting to pick up, hiring troubles have slowed down the momentum. He says, "We have difficulty hiring hourly workers, bartenders, servers, bar backs, bus boys, runners, overnight cleaning staff. We're probably 60 employees short. I have one restaurant in Greenwich Village that I haven't opened yet because they don't have the manpower." The Rag Trader, a 300-seat restaurant in its fourth week of reopening, was hit hard last year. Fox said he lost a devastating amount of money. He said revenue levels currently are half what he made in 2019, but that the needle is moving in the right direction. According to Fox, the biggest factor behind the difficulty in hiring is enhanced employment benefits, which now extend until the beginning of September. While he stressed it was necessary earlier in the pandemic, he believes the federal government has continued it for too long. He said, "It's not financially beneficial for people to return to work, so we're in a real crisis with respect to labor shortfall." As he told his story, he described the emotional struggle he dealt with as he was forced to lay off workers on a long-term basis. At the time, they had no other resources to pull money from, and he felt powerless to help them. While he's an advocate of responsible social distancing and hygiene practices, he believes the lockdown restrictions in the city were arbitrary and not based on evidence. He says, "I think there was a distrust from the state government. A lot of people lost their businesses and lost their livelihoods and their dreams because of it. And I think it's an American tragedy, to be perfectly honest with you." New York City and New York State had different restrictions last year. Fox points out that one that made him scratch his head was that guests were not allowed to sit at the bar counter in New York City, but they were in New York State. Restaurants in New York City tend to be smaller, and the rule made it impossible for a lot of places to stay open. And while New York State has been allowed a 50% occupancy right through through to today, New York City closed down twice, and restaurants were given 25% occupancy mandates for many months. Fox described how he had to pay tens of thousands of dollars to bring in protective equipment, sanitizing equipment, temperature checkers, and more. People spent money they didn't have and ended up closed again, he says. He also called the 10 p.m. curfew ridiculous. He goes on to say, "I believe our state and our city leaders didn't do their job. I think that they made arbitrary decisions based on hunches. I hope that they're held to account for it." Andrew Riggi, the executive director at the New York City Hospitality Alliance, a nonprofit association representing eating and drinking establishments, said restaurants are facing a complex labor shortage on top of an economic crisis. He said, "We need a plan and policies to help get more people back to work." Jim Walker, a local restaurateur in California and former president of the Newport Beach Restaurant Association, said the entire industry has been thrown into disarray. He said there's a huge shortage in back of the house kitchen staff, and those who are available are dictating what they want to be paid. Finding hostesses and bartenders is our biggest ongoing challenge. Because of this, Walker's now offering bonuses for new hires who stay on for a certain length of time and offering existing staff referral bonuses. He owns three restaurants, Bungalow Restaurant, Cedar Creek, Domenico's Pizza, and he's set on to open another in July. While business is coming back for him, costs are rising significantly, he said, noting that cattle breeders have cut back on their herds due to a lack of demand. And then in 1 week, meat costs for a bone-in ribeye went up $7 a pound. On top of that, Walker pays $100,000 a year in credit card fees. Unemployment benefits, he said, are also discouraging people from working. He said people are staying home because they can make more money from stimulus extension than if they go back to work. Those coming across the border who might normally immediately become part of a labor market are not doing so because of all the government aid currently being handed out. They're not motivated or desperate to get a job once they're in the U.S., he says. New York City, for example, has set aside $2.1 billion in funds from the state budget to pay illegal immigrants who lost work during the pandemic. illegals, people who are not supposed to be here. And New York City set aside $2.1 billion for them. Walker's wife recently went to a restaurant in San Juan Capistrano. When the bill came, there was a 4% kitchen appreciation fee. Some restaurants, according to Walker, are now charging a COVID recovery fee as well. And many consumers are not even noticing the extra charges. One chef and owner of a seafood restaurant franchise in California summed up the dismal situation in a now viral Twitter post, where he said, "There are no employees available in California. We're paying dishwashers $21 to start. The two main reasons people tell me they won't work: they're making more money on unemployment and would rather not work. And two, with schools closed, they can't pay someone to watch their kids." Grill added in a follow-up post that not a single person he spoke to said they were scared of the virus. And this story keeps on going and keeps on going. And we're seeing this happen all over the country as restaurateur after restaurateur tells their story that they can't hire people because people don't want to be hired, that they can't keep people because the people who are there realize, you know, I could go home and make this much or more. It won't last for a long time. At least they think it won't. The story says September is when it runs out. But something tells me that in September, there will be a motion to extend. I say this because this is the doormat for socialism. Government paying people not to work, and business beginning to fail, and the economy suffering as a result. And then the socialists coming in and saying, "See, this capitalism stuff is failing. We told you forever it was going to fail, and now it really is failing. It's time for us to reconsider capitalism. It's time for us to explore other models, because look at what's happening." And the news media will report their side of the story, but not everything. They won't tell the whole story. They won't tell the truth. They'll just talk about the doom and the gloom and the hardship. That's what they'll talk about. And then they'll show socialist left-leaning politicians on the newscast talking about how the government is there to help, and we need to revisit our thinking on these things, and we need to change how this works. And they will propose changes which will push the nation further into socialism. But what the news media will not report on is the end result of a move like that. And we have a fine example, and I've quoted it so many times here on this podcast. You just have to look down to Venezuela. It's as close as South America, where the same thing was happening there. An economy built on oil, the top oil-producing nation on earth, some would say. And yet, the socialists came in and used greed and envy and persuaded people that they could be much better off if all that money in the oil industry was spread around and shared equally. And so they said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's vote for that." But what they didn't know they were voting for was a lie. And that's exactly what's happening here. These politicians will push a lie and get people on board with it, get their way. And once they're voted in, their proposals, everybody who bought in will realize, "Wait a minute, this is not what we agreed to." But then it's too late. But you'll never hear that story coming from the mainstream press, because they're in on it. Anybody who owns and operates a business, or you know anybody who is a full-time employee, a responsible adult in the business world, then you've heard the stories about how hard it is to keep help now. It's hard to keep employees on board. I hear this from friends in business on a regular basis about how the people that will come to work, even those, they're hard to trust because they don't show up. They don't call in. They want more days off. They say they want more hours. They want to work full time, but then when you need them, they don't show up. And there's a whole different, morality about life in these younger folks. You know, it's just it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. And when you think about what was happening before the pandemic hit, everything was on the rise. Everything was looking good. Everybody was making more money. Everybody was paying less in taxes, like on average, $5,000 more a year going into their bank accounts instead of back to the government. And it was good. Everybody was happy with it. Everybody was seeing the results, which was why the election was such a shock to so many people, because we understood why that was happening. And we all were in favor of it continuing. And then suddenly overnight, it didn't. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. I have a story about the Olympics. Athletes will not be allowed to wear clothing with the slogan Black Lives Matter at the Tokyo Olympic Games. So says the International Olympic Committee. And they reiterate that they plan to enforce the game's rule number 50, which bans political or social justice protests of any kind at the International Athletic event to take place in just a few weeks. The Associated Press reports yesterday that the IOC's rules against slogans with a political or social justice meaning are granular this year, and that the IOC has specifically banned apparel bearing the racial justice mantra Black Lives Matter. Quote, the International Olympic Committee got very granular with what it is not allowed. It said specifically that the slogan Black Lives Matter will be banned from athlete apparel at the Summer Olympics. It's part of the IOC's long-standing ban on demonstration or political, religious, or racial propaganda on the playing field and the medal stand or during the game's official ceremonies. Instead, athletes will be pressed to wear apparel with more generic words like peace, respect, solidarity, inclusion, and equality. So they'll be enforcing the rule, not allowing people to protest. It'll be interesting to see how many will abide by this rule. But that's what's coming. And I want to wrap up today with something from Dennis Prager. He's always got some words of wisdom, and I'm impressed by them, and that's why I pass them along to you. And this one is called, Is Communism Moral? Motives are much less important than behavior. We all know this. If someone has good intentions but treats people badly, those good intentions mean nothing. As it is with individuals, so it is with governments. Capitalism might sound less noble than communism. The individual pursues success to the best of his abilities. That's capitalism. Versus everyone shares everything equally. That's communism. But it is capitalism that has produced freedom. And it alone has lifted millions from poverty, while communism has kept millions impoverished and, without exception, crushed freedom. Capitalism, for all its imperfections, enables a decent society. Communism, whatever its stated intentions, leads to evil. Yet, increasingly, people either ignore or deny the evil of this ideology, which, within a period of only 60 years, created modern totalitarianism and deprived more people of human rights and tortured and killed more people than any ideology in history. How can we explain this? Well, there are two ways. One is ignorance. People just don't know the truth about communism. The second is willful blindness. People know the truth, but choose to ignore it because the truth about communism's horrors is too painful to confront. Given the sad state of our educational system, we can assume most people fall into the first category. They just don't know. So let me offer some facts. But before I do, I need to address another question. Why is it important that everyone know what communism did? Well, here are three reasons. First, we have a moral obligation to the victims of communism not to forget them. Just as Americans have a moral obligation to remember the victims of slavery, we have the same obligation to the billion victims of communism, especially the 100 million who were murdered. Second, the best way to prevent an evil from recurring is to confront it in all its horror. The fact that many people today, especially young people, mention communism as a viable option for modern society proves they don't know communism's moral record. Therefore, they do not properly fear communism, which means this evil could happen again. And why could it happen again? That brings us to reason number three. The leaders of communist regimes and the vast number of people who helped those leaders torture, enslave, and murder were nearly all normal people. Of course, some were psychopaths, but most were not. Which means that any society, including free ones, can devolve into communism or some analogous evil. Now, some facts. Based on the authoritative Black Book of Communism, written by six French scholars and published in the United States by Harvard University Press, here are the numbers of people murdered by communist regimes. Not soldiers. Ordinary citizens. Ordinary civilians. Vietnam, 1 million. Eastern Europe, 1 million. Ethiopia, 1.5 million. North Korea, 2 million. Cambodia, 2 million. The Soviet Union, 20 million. China, 65 million. And the numbers are conservative. And of course, these numbers do not describe the suffering endured by hundreds of millions of people who were not murdered. The systematic stripping of people of their right to speak freely, to worship freely, to start a business, or even to travel without party permission. No non-communist judiciary or media. The poverty of nearly all communist countries. The imprisonment of vast numbers of people. And, of course, the trauma suffered by the hundreds of millions of friends and relatives of the murdered and imprisoned. These numbers don't tell you about the frozen millions in the vast Siberian prison camp system known as the Gulag Archipelago, or the Vietnamese communist routine practice of burying peasants alive to terrorize other peasants into supporting the communists, or Mao Zedong's regular use of hideous tortures to punish opponents and intimidate peasants. People associate evil with darkness. That's not accurate. It is easy to look into the dark. It is very hard to stare into bright light. One should therefore associate evil with extreme brightness, given that people rarely look at real evil. And those who do not confront real evil often make up evils like systemic racism in 21st century America, or toxic masculinity, or patriarchy, that are much easier to confront. The Book of Psalms states, "Those of you who love God must hate evil." If you don't believe in God, here's another way of putting it. Those of you who love people must hate evil. If you don't hate communism, you don't care about, much less love, people. And that's from Dennis Prager. Is communism moral? The United States of America, many people in this country are flirting with communism today. As he says in his piece, they're ignorant of the truths of communism. They excuse the failures of communism. They claim that it's never worked before because the wrong people were doing it. They just didn't get it right. They'll tell you, yeah, if you look at it on paper, it makes perfect sense. It's just the right people have not been in power. And now they are. Remember what Barack Obama said to that crowd that time? We are the people we've been waiting for. What do you think he was talking about? He was talking about this. He was talking about the fundamental transformation of the United States of America into the perfect socialist / communist state. That's what he was talking about. They were the people they'd been waiting for all their lives. They were the ones who would finally get the chance to succeed at what has failed every time it's been attempted. That is what he was talking about. And many today, taught by the leftist education system, that America is based on evil, wrongdoing, slavery, that it is fundamentally flawed. They've been taught the lie. They're looking for another option because they don't understand the truth of what America represents to the world. And that communism has already proven itself to be a monumental failure every time it's tried. They don't understand that capitalism isn't what they're taught it is. They're taught it's something evil. But capitalism, and capitalism alone, has been responsible for the feeding of millions of people around the world who otherwise would not have been fed. Capitalism and capitalism alone has been responsible for medical breakthroughs which have saved the lives of millions of people. Capitalism and capitalism alone has made it possible for people to learn how to take care of themselves, to plant crops, to drill for water, to do things which have kept them alive when they would have died otherwise. Capitalism has made the world free and prosperous. And those who deny that believe a lie. And that's something for us all to remember today. Because as our politicians point bony fingers of righteous indignation towards our founders and the history of this country and try to tell us that everything about this country was based on wrongdoing, they are lying to you. Because our founders understood that a moral people would be necessary for a country to thrive and to move forward. A moral people. And these people lying to you and telling you otherwise are anything but moral. That's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll get back together again tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.